Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. I think I know pretty much all of you, but my name is Jake Walker, and I'm from a small town called Keyser, West Virginia. I'm married to my lovely wife, Chloe, who was born and raised here in this church. And this church has a legacy. It's a rich legacy. It was her legacy, and I have the privilege of having been married into it. This morning, I want to talk about Jesus. Hopefully, I can manage to talk. The title of the sermon this morning is Jesus is. Who is Jesus? He is King. Often when I speak about God's kingdom. I speak about how we bring God's kingdom here to the earth. That's what Jesus told us to pray. He said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done here on the earth as it is in heaven." And so often I talk about that kingdom and what it looks like. But this morning I felt compelled to speak first about the King of our kingdom. And Jesus is that King. But he's so much more than that, you guys. And so, who is Jesus? I do have an outline for the service this morning and things that I feel like God wants to pull out about who Jesus is. But also, he's not just been speaking to me this week, he's been speaking to all of you. Whether you were listening or not, that might be another matter. But I want to give you guys opportunity this morning to speak out and to share who is Jesus. So my first question is, who is Jesus? Does anyone have something they would like to say about who is Jesus? We're gonna have lots of audience participation. So he's Lord, he's Savior. What was that one? The way, the truth, and the life. Yep. Creator. Yep. Sustainer, yeah, it's true. Never fails. Living water, the rock, bread of life. Do you guys want to get up here? Or... Yeah, the only way to heaven. Okay, what is he like? What was it? Wonderful, counselor. Healer, love. He's patient, right? No matter what mess I get myself into, he's patient. You know, my son Caleb, he has been known to make a few messes. Matter of fact, we're just getting into that phase, really, of making messes. I don't, maybe once he's found the toilet paper so far, but, and I'm not always patient, but Jesus is. Yeah, what else is he like? Forgiving. Yeah. Unconditional love. Comfort. Yeah. And I don't know about you guys, but there are times when I'm just so discouraged. And usually it's because I've taken my eyes off of Jesus and allowed myself to be more consumed by the circumstances of life that are in front of me. But he is the great comforter. Yeah. What else is he like? He's gentle. Yeah. He doesn't force himself on us. Loving, kind, pure. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Can we figure him out? I think that's a trick question. Because I think we can figure him out, but we can't have him all figured out, right? You know, like he makes himself known to us, but there's always something more to discover. So here's a question. Why did he come as a man? He came as a man, right? If anyone's never heard about Jesus, he came as a man. But why? To redeem us, yeah? His love for us, what do you mean? Okay. To identify with us. Yeah, he humbled himself. He was the ultimate picture of humility. We're going to read about that in a second. You know, there's a couple of big things that I think were Jesus' goals. And there's countless scriptures, and this is by no means an exhaustive list, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost, right? He reconciled us to the Father. He showed us what the Father was like. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You guys know that in the Old Testament, you can count on one hand how many times God is called Father. And most of them were himself saying that. But that's all Jesus called, pretty much, was Father. He wanted us to know that he was like a father. So he came to seek and to save and to reconcile, show us the Father. And the third one that I like to point out is he showed us how to live. He lived for 33 years. He loved people. He did signs and miracles. He got away with God the Father. He didn't just go do, pour out all the time, but he received from God the Father. He sat with him. He acknowledged people. He acknowledged people that no one else did. He showed us how to live. So a scripture that has kind of been a theme for this summer. For those of you that don't know, I'm a full-time missionary with Youth with a Mission, my wife and I. And we're based in Keyser, West Virginia right now. And one of the things we do is we run different camps through the summer. And we just helped run three camps in a row within 2 weeks prior to coming up here. And we're planning to run more camps while we're here. And this year, the special thing is we have one youth with us right now, Haley. Actually, you guys stand up real quick so I can introduce you. So you know my wife, Chloe. Here she is. Caleb is downstairs sleeping, and we haven't named baby number two yet. So, and then we have Joel Smoker and April Smoker. They're married, and they are on staff with us at YWAM in West Virginia as well. And this is Haley, who happens to be my cousin. She is 18 years old, just graduated high school, and she's here for these next 2 weeks. Then we have five other people that join us after that. And we're going to have a camp while that group is here. All that to say, this scripture, and they overcame him, meaning the enemy. That is not the right scripture reference. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life, even when faced with death. The scripture reference there is Revelation 12:11. So they overcame him, not just kind of, you know, put the enemy in his place, but they overcame him by two things, the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So Jesus has done his part. He has shed his blood to overcome the Lamb. And each one of us that is a believer and is a Christian has made Jesus Lord of our lives. We have a testimony. All of us have a testimony, even those of us that haven't done that yet. But when we testify, when we speak out about what Jesus has done in our lives, we play a part in overcoming the enemy. And so one of the things that we have done a lot this summer already is share testimonies. We have all of the youth that we are bringing here to this place, we've had them practicing their testimonies over and over to the point where they're like, this feels kind of silly to tell my testimony to all of you. But we said, you know, practice makes perfect. But it was as they shared their testimonies at our camp last week that all of the other youth that were there started to speak up. We've ran these camps for years now. And we will have times where the kids go away with the Lord and they come back and we say, well, What were you sensing from God? What was he showing you about himself? And there's crickets, you know? But this year, that didn't happen. By the end of the week, we had kids getting up and speaking that have been coming to our camps for 8 years. We have one girl that's come to our camp for 8 years. And this year, she gave her life to Jesus. And she got up and she shared what God had been speaking to her that day. And I believe it's because we had these other youth that were faithful to speak out. This is who Jesus is in my life. This is how the blood of Jesus has redeemed me. We have to put Jesus first, not our own life. That's where the end of that comes in. And so this morning, I want to give you another opportunity to speak out. Not just who is Jesus, but who is he to you? Does anybody have a short testimony they'd like to share this morning about who Jesus is to you? He's your Savior. What's he saved you from, you Ming? Yeah, condemnation. No more. Yeah. He's peace. Yeah. He's the full package. There's nothing else. There's nothing unincluded. Yeah. 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 Jesus, we're only going to scratch the surface this morning about who Jesus is. Who is Jesus to me? He's the one that gives us purpose. He's the one that we are designed to have relationship with. He's the one that we are made in the image of. You know, as we live out the Christian life, our goal is to look more like Jesus. He's the example. He's the reason that we can sing despite the brokenness that we're often faced with. Yeah. So what's the point in talking about all of this? I've got some scriptures now that we'll read here together. I think I need to make it a little bigger. So I often use this scripture when I teach or preach. This is from Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. So this morning in Sunday school, we talked about God's commands. And of course, that's no coincidence that I was going to talk about commands for a moment. This morning we said in Sunday school that God wants us to keep his commands. And we talked about why does he give us commands? And, you know, I give some commands once in a while to Caleb. He's not the best at listening to them yet, but it's still good. You know, for instance, if I see Caleb going to stick his fingers in a light socket, I'm going to say, no, don't do that, right? And at his age, I have to go and help him not do that. But why did I tell him not to do that? To protect him, right? For his own good, because I love him and I care about him, and it has something to do with the way I want him to live. So let's listen to what the greatest commandment is. There was a lawyer that showed up and asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. I don't know about you guys, but there have been times in my life and in my walk with Jesus where I've kind of fallen into this trap of wanting something more, wanting some kind of experience with Jesus. Some kind of, okay, you know, I've accepted Jesus into my heart, but what else is there? You know, let's get past that to something bigger. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there is nothing bigger. The greatest, deepest, highest, best thing for your life is to know Jesus. You know, there are several things that our relationship with Jesus is compared to in the scripture. One of which is that he is the bridegroom and that we are the bride. When you get married, you don't get more married. You just are married. Tyrell and Natalie are fully married today. There's no being, they don't go back to being unmarried. I can't wake up on any given morning and say, well, you know, Chloe's great, but I think I'm just going to not be married today. We'll just, you know, go do my own thing. No, it is an actual legal reality that Chloe and I are married. And when we ask Jesus into our hearts, when we give him our lives, we become a part of that marriage to him. And so this morning, every one of you that has made that decision, you have the relationship status of being married to Jesus. But we don't stop with just the status of being married. There's also substance to marriage. You know, Chloe and I can't wake up and just say, well, I'm not married today. But I could wake up and say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with her today. I'm going to go do something else. And I could do that the next day, and the next day, and the next day. There's not going to be much of a relationship there if that's what I do. And when it comes to Jesus, we have the option. Do we accept him and have the substance of relationship that awaits us? Or do we just say, well, you know, we're married now, so that's good enough. Jesus wants depth of relationship with us. The next scripture that we're going to talk about comes from Philippians chapter 2. This is one of my favorite scriptures. You know what? I'm going to make that. I guess that's as big as I can make it. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's a big deal. Jesus Christ is Lord. What does that mean to be Lord? It's not really a term that we use a lot in society today. But a Lord was someone that had ownership, had land. There was often people that served under them. It was a lot like a king. And Jesus is Lord. But is he your Lord? That's a decision we have to each make for ourselves. So, I pointed out already that relationship with Jesus, there are kind of these big picture descriptions, these word pictures of what our relationship with him is like. There is the spouses, you know, he's the bridegroom, and we're the bride. There is, you know, God with us is the father and child. There is, he is our savior, our king, or our Lord, and then he is our shepherd. So this is from John chapter 10. It says, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.'" So to know Jesus as the Father knows Jesus, that is the depth that is available to us. Jesus didn't just say, "Well, you know, you can kind of know me." It was to know him like the Father knows him. Earlier in verse 10, it says that Jesus came to give us abundant life. You guys know the word there in the Greek for abundant is perissos. Everyone say that, perissos. Perissos, there are other times in scripture where that is used, one of which is from right after Jesus fed, I can't remember if it was the 5,000 or the 4,000, but the disciples then went on the boat, and Jesus stayed back. And Jesus walks out onto the water and gets in the boat with them. And it says that they were abundantly astonished. They were perissos astonished. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I've never seen someone walk on water. And I think I would be pretty abundantly astonished by that. That is the level of abundance that Jesus has for us as we know him. As we know him as our shepherd. Skipping a few verses in chapter 10, we come to verse 27 that says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Jesus gives us eternal life. Not only is it abundant life, it's eternal life. You know, eternal life, when does that start? Jesus saves us. It starts the moment, you know, we're all going to live somewhere, or we're all going to exist somewhere. It's either eternal death or eternal life. The moment that we accept as our Lord and Savior, we switch from that eternal death to eternal life. It doesn't have to start when we die. So often I think we think of eternal life as eternity and going to heaven, but it starts now. That is what Jesus wants for us. But what is eternal life? There's actually a scripture where Jesus says, "This is eternal life." And it's in the high priestly prayer. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you have gave him authority over all flesh, and to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all the things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with you, I was keeping them in your name which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. So, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This word here for know isn't just your everyday word for know. You know, I know that Joe Biden is president of the United States. I've never met the man. I know that... I don't know, it's something else. I know something else. But then I know Chloe. I've met her. If you say some kind of thing to her, I can probably make a pretty good guess as to how she's going to respond. Out of show of hands, how many of you knew Jimmy Stringer? I personally did not have that privilege. But I've come to know, in the way that I can, many great things about the man. But some of you knew him very well. The word here is gnosko. All those of you that raised your hand had met him, had heard him speak about Jesus. You gnoskoed him. Some of you, to a very deep extent. Pat, most of all, knew Jimmy Stringer. How many of you can say that you gnosko Jesus? If you've made him Lord of your life, you've gnoskoed him some, but you can gnosko him more. And that's the invitation that we have this morning, is to gnosko him. So the word pictures that are used to describe our relationship dynamic with him, we've been talking about. He's our King. He's our Savior. You know, I'm going to stop there for a second. What does that mean for him to be our Savior? Yuming, you mentioned this earlier. What did he save you? How did he save you? What did you say? Paid the penalty for your sins. Yep. It's true. He saved us from sin. He saved us from eternal death in hell. He saved us from eternal separation from himself. He saved us from the lies of the enemy and from living a life of bondage. Saved us from ourselves. And you know, as the church and as Christians, we're really good at mentioning all those things. But I challenge you, he's not just saving you from, he's saving you to. He's saving you to life with himself. He's saving you to a relationship with God the Father. He's saving you to seeing the beauty that is all around us. He put us on a beautiful earth, not so that we could just escape it one day, but so that we could take care of it. He saved us to be able to enjoy the laughter of a small child the way he does. He saved us to having hope, to having peace. And while it's amazing the things that he gives us like that, ultimately, he saved us to relationship with himself. He is the full embodiment of those things. He's our friend. And let me make sure I get the scripture reference right. John 15, 15, Jesus said, "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you." Who needs a friend this morning? He's our shepherd. He takes care of us. I can definitely be a dumb sheep sometimes. Sheep get themselves into trouble, I'm told. I've not been around sheep much in my life, but a good shepherd takes care of them. That's what Jesus wants to do for us. He's a spouse. And then he is a father to us as his children. You know, yesterday I was up here in the office preparing for this morning, and the rest of the team had gone off to do some other things. They weren't even here at all. And they came back, and they came and they knocked on the door. And when the door opened, the smallest of our entire team stepped his little feet into our office. Some of you haven't even seen him yet. He's downstairs sleeping right now. But my son, Caleb, he stepped into the door. And my heart skipped a beat to see my little boy, to see his face light up at seeing me. And immediately Jesus said, "If you, who is a limited, finite human being, and your love for your son feel that way, imagine how I feel when you step into my office, when you step into coming and spending time with me." That's what's in store for us, if we'll only choose it. In that high priest prayer that we read, the last part of verse 11 says this: "Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me." What name did he give him? It was at the name of Jesus that what? Every knee will bow, every tongue confess. That is a huge deal, you guys. You're not just kept in the name of Jake. That's not a very great name to be kept in. But you're kept in Jesus' name. That we may be one with them, even as God is one. You see, we have eternal life if we accept it in Jesus. And our eternal life starts here and goes this way. Right? Am I doing that right? Yeah. This way. See, God, he starts here and goes both ways. And for all eternity that way and all eternity that way, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit have been one, inseparable. That's why it was such a big deal for Jesus when he hung on the cross and he couldn't see the Father. I truly believe that that was the hardest thing about that whole process for him. But as God is one with himself, that is what he prayed. That was the level of unity and gnoskoing that he prayed that we would experience with Jesus. And to me, this verse is one of the highest prayers that we can pray for anyone. Jesus, keep them in your name. Let them be one with you as you are one. And so I want to encourage you this morning. How do we do that? Well, we have to spend time with him. There's the quote, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." What if the top three were God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? It would be pretty powerful. We spend time with him in prayer and worship, reading the word. Those are often obvious to us, and Of course, we can do more of that. You know, sometimes I pray or I read the Bible by myself. I mean, you know, God's omnipresent, so I'm not by myself, but I don't acknowledge it. What if every time we read the scripture, we said, okay, Jesus, you speak to me through these words? What if every time we, you know, there are times where we enter into worship and all I'm doing is singing along like it's karaoke or something, you know? What if every time we worshiped, we were intimately aware of Jesus and how he felt about our worship? But it doesn't stop there. We can talk to him as we are driving in our cars. We can talk to him as we're walking through Freddy's. We can talk to him wherever we are. Because he doesn't just want to be a part of your life here on Sunday mornings as you sit in church. He wants to be a part of your life as you go to work, as you interact with people. He wants to be a part of all of it. He wants you to talk to him. Yesterday, there was a moment when Caleb was downstairs and I was up here, and Chloe calls me and says, Caleb's looking for you. In our room downstairs, which is very excellent. Thank you so much for setting it up. He'll often come play peekaboo. I can put a blankie over my head and I'll say, or I'll either put the blankie on his head and say, where's Caleb? Where's Caleb? And he pulls it off and he's got a great big smile. And then I'll put it over my head and I'll say, where's Daddy? Where's Daddy? And sometimes he's really quick. Other times he plays hard to get for a minute, but he'll come and he'll pull the blanket off my face and he is just so thrilled that he found me, you know? And so yesterday, he said my name. He was like, Dada, where's Dada? And he started looking under the pillows of our bed, trying to find me. And so Chloe calls me, and of course, I had to stop what I was doing and go see him. Because as my child, as I know he's looking for me, I stopped what I was doing to go be a part of that. When I opened the door and he saw me and he throws his hands up and he'll kind of start jumping up and down. And sometimes he goes like this in his excitement. My heart melted. That's how Jesus is. That's how God the Father and Spirit are when we come to spend time with Him, no matter what we're doing. You know, it's not just talking to Him either, it's listening to Him. Because, like I said at the beginning of the message, He's been speaking to all of you, whether you've been listening or not. And so this week, I challenge you to pray. This is kind of the key takeaways here that I wanted you to hear this morning, is that we can gnosko Jesus. It is possible for us to experientially know him. He wants to be gnoskoed by us. And that it is the highest, deepest, greatest thing we can do. I challenge you this week, each day, to join me in praying this. Jesus, let me gnosko you this week. Make me one with you, God, as you are one. And next week, I'm going to give you an opportunity to share where you saw Jesus by the word of our testimony, right? We overcome him. And it can be something simple. It can be something profound. But I want to hear where you saw Jesus, because Jesus is the reason that we're here. Don't just give Jesus your heart. If you don't know Jesus, you haven't made him Lord of your life, I encourage you to do so. Sure, you've heard it before, but it's not an easy thing to do per se, but it's a simple thing. We admit that we are a sinner. We've fallen short of the glory of God. We believe that Jesus Christ was born Then he died the price for sin once and for all, lived a perfect life, and was raised from the dead. Confess that he is Lord. We say, Jesus, no longer my will be done, but your will be done. Don't just give him your heart. He doesn't just want your heart. He doesn't want to just be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. So this morning, we're going to pray. And Ms. Susiel, if you're able to come and play. I'm going to pray this. And I encourage you to pray it wherever you are. But also, if you'd like to ask for prayer, if you'd like to say, I need a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. And maybe it's in one of those specific areas of Savior, Father, King, Friend, Shepherd, Spouse. Maybe there's a specific one that he wants to show you this week. You're welcome to come up here to pray or to raise your hand. And there are elders and deacons in the church that would love to pray with you. Our team would love to pray with you. Let's ask him to show him, to show us himself, because he longs to do that. Just like I stopped what I was doing to go find my son to show myself to him, he wants to do that for us. So let us pray. Jesus, there's no one greater than you. Jesus, you paid the ultimate price. You lived a perfect life. You lived all eternity before with God the Father. And because we were separated from you, you said, send me in. Let me make it right. Because you couldn't bear the thought of us being separated. But you wanted us. You chose us. Jesus, let us not forget who you are and what you've done. Show us more of yourself. God, I thank you in faith and anticipation for the things that you want to show us this week. God, I thank you for those that are here that have made that choice already, that have said yes, they've said I do to being married to you, Jesus. Would you take us deeper with you? God, would you revive and breathe your life into our date time with you, our alone time with you? God, would you be our resting thought? Not what we're having for dinner. Jesus, you. Let us gnosko you, Jesus. Speak to us which one of these areas you want to show us more what it's like to be in relationship with you. Jesus, I pray that you would be with those that you want to encourage them to ask for prayer, for a fresh revelation of you. God, would you give them boldness to come forward? God, and if there's any that haven't said I do to being married to you, I pray that they'd make that decision this morning, as it's the greatest decision they could ever make. In your name we pray, Jesus.